Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We hope this worship experience is a blessing to you today. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. Our senior pastor, Dee Dee Roberts, will be along here in a little while to deliver this week's message. However you may be watching, however you may be joining us today, we hope that this worship experience blesses you and that you feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit working in you and through you during our time together. We're starting a new sermon series this week, and we're calling it Start With Why. And so for over the next 3 weeks, as we move ourselves closer towards returning to in-person worship, we are going to examine three very critical questions in the life of a Christian. This week, Pastor Dee is going to preach on why do people need Jesus Christ? And in the coming weeks, we'll look at why do people need the church? And then lastly, why do people need this church here at Asbury? And Paul's letter to the Colossians does a lot to help us understand why we need Jesus Christ, why we need the fellowship of the church and our local church together. And so that scripture will guide us in the coming weeks. As we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this opportunity to gather together as your beloved children. We ask this morning, God, that you are with us, that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you come into this space, into our hearts, and use the music and the message and the word and the prayer to change us, to form us, God, into the disciples that you call us to be in the image of Christ, fully loved. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Lord, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Let us pray. Loving God, we are like deer, thirsty and hungry, who long to drink from your water and be fed at your hand. You alone, O God, are our heart's desire, and our souls long after you. Today we come confessing that with all that is swirling around us, we know that you alone are the answer, not only for our personal problems and questions and struggles, but also for all those things which plague our nation and our world. For you are Lord. You were present at creation and spoke it all into being. You are Lord, who came and dwelt among us, lived our lives, died our death, and through your resurrection and your ascension have now become the ruler of all things. You alone deserve our allegiance. and the fullness of our loyalty. So as we come with that confession on our lips, we pray that you will hear the things that shout from our very souls, concerns for family and friends, fear around COVID and other diseases over which we seem to have no control, frustration and overwhelm that day in and day out more and more seems to be dumping on us and drowning us with facts, alternative facts, differing opinions. You alone, O God, you alone, O Christ, can help us discern truth. Hear us today as we lift to you our friends Clifford Smith, Jean Beth Hill, Carol Ratliff, and June Glazier. They need your comfort and your care. And we lift them to you knowing that you can heal their deepest hurts. Spread the love of your life over their lives like a balm, releasing them from illness, fear, and discomfort. Lord, we also lift to you this day Jay and Tammy Greenfield and Lisa Orr and all of her friends and family as we lift to you our friend Karen Greenfield. We know that she is already wrapped in your arms of mercy. Lord, she leaves behind many who grieve, and we pray for your comfort. There are so many others whose names we do not know, whose struggles are hidden, and whose pain is so deep there is only a sigh. Lord, we lift them to you now and pray especially for those who have no one else to pray for them, trusting in your goodness and in your grace and in your peace that passes all understanding. Continue to shape us as a congregation, as a community of Christian believers, into the kind of place, the kind of people who make room for and make space for all those whom you send our way. And even more, O God, fill us with the courage and the power and the fire of your grace in our hearts, that we not only wait for you to send people our way, but we go out and find them. Because we know the power of your love in our lives. And we cannot help but share it with others. It is in this passionate spirit, O God, that we pray today the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A portion of Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. Hear now these words. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ and your love for all of God's people, which comes from our confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it has changed your lives from the day you first heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow and learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. For God has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred into us the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm excited about this new sermon series. As Pastor Nick has already told you, kind of the outline of it, we began to think about this as we were looking toward that glorious day when we will be able to come back into the building and begin worshiping. One of the things that the pandemic has offered us and this time of distance has given us is the space to stop and think about why we do the things we do. Those deeper questions. We've had to stop doing the routine, after all, and learn new habits, learn new ways of even the mundane things of our lives, like grocery shopping or going to the doctor or taking the kids to school or turning the dining room into a classroom. The pandemic has given us an opportunity to ask, why do we do the things we do? In his book, Leading Beyond the Walls, Adam Hamilton, the senior pastor at the Church of the Resurrection in Overland, Kansas, talks about the beginning of that church's life, when it was only Adam and his wife and two young daughters sent to a mission field in South Kansas City. Adam was sent there to start a church, and he did. It's one of the largest United Methodist churches in the world, with over 17,000 members, and before the pandemic, approximately 4,000 in any given weekend of worship services spread out over four campuses. But at the very beginning, in those early days, before there were worship services or buildings or campuses, there was Adam, his call, and his mission field. And he says that he realized that he needed to answer three questions. And if he couldn't answer these three questions well, then he knew that this new venture would flounder. Those three questions are what we'll be talking about the next few weeks in worship. They are, why do people need Jesus Christ? Why do people need the church? And then, why do people need this church? My church. Today, both with what Paul wrote in that first chapter of Colossians, what Adam leads us to, we're going to be talking about that first and most fundamental question: why do people need Jesus Christ? As I'm preaching, I hope some of you will text in some of your responses to that fundamental question. Because one of the things that will help us flourish and thrive and bear fruit as the people of Asbury United Methodist Church in our mission field is if we can come as close as possible to an agreement about that fundamental question. Why? Why do people need Jesus? Well, over the centuries, there have been a lot of answers offered to that question. In the gospel, we hear the most foundational question, and that is that Jesus Christ alone can offer us redemption from our sin, free us from the slavery we have to our agendas and our faults and our ilk that seems to take hold of our lives, and so often we find ourselves led astray and lost. The grace of God in Jesus Christ is the one and only thing that can find us where we are, redeem us from what we've done, and transform us into new people who will no longer have to do those things, but are free. Free to live, free to grow, free for joy. I think that's fundamental. I think that's clear, but others have offered other reasons stemming from that fundamental reason. One of my favorites is St. Augustine in the 4th century, who, after living a life of, well, partying and debauchery, came to know Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And he wrote about that experience, that there is in all of us a God-shaped hole, and only Christ can fill it. As if when God creates us, God creates us with a center and then wraps all of the tissue, the sinew, the bones, the skin, all around that center. And there is the place where God must dwell. And Jesus is the one who fills it. John Wesley wrote that he became a true believer when he realized, listening to the scripture, that Christ had died for him personally. And that freed him and set him free. Wesley had believed in the redemption of Christ, but he saw it in macro terms. Jesus died for the world. Jesus died for all creation. Jesus died for... But Wesley had never seen it for himself. Until in a moment of awakening, he heard the words of the book of Romans in a new way. And my friends, it transformed him from a beaten down, somewhat burned out priest into the man that some historians claim saved England from a revolution like the rest of Europe. Because when Wesley understood that Jesus had died for him, he also saw that Jesus had died for the person he saw on the street. The persons that other people didn't see. They were invisible, but God opened Wesley's eyes. And in love and conviction of grace, he started Sunday schools and preached to factory workers and left the building of the church and went out to corners in the city and fields in the country and changed England for the better. Why do people need Jesus? Well, I wouldn't put myself on the same caliber as Wesley or Augustine, but I can tell you why I believe people need Jesus. And it stems from an experience I had at 16 in an outdoor auditorium at a church camp called Epworth Forest. I was invited to pray about my relationship with God. And as I've shared before, I believed that God loved me. I believed that Jesus had died for my sin. I had already accepted Christ as my Savior. But in that moment, standing there in that auditorium, as we sang hymns and people went forward to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, suddenly my eyes were opened. And it was as if I could see into those people's lives. I saw a pastor that I deeply, deeply loved and respected. And I knew somehow that his marriage was falling apart. And that he was entertaining an affair. I saw a friend of mine crouched down on their knees, and suddenly I knew that she was struggling with drugs. Over on the other side of the room, I saw some other kids that throughout the week I had thought, man, they're trouble. But somehow I knew that they were so lost and afraid. And this thing called church camp was some foreign world to them, a world that they didn't understand. And so, yeah, they'd been rebelling. Yes, they'd made fun of everything we'd done. But there they were, kneeling. And then I saw a light. A light that came from nowhere, but was bright and warm. And it began to move around the room, and it lit and stopped on all of those people that suddenly I had seen into their lives. And then it came to me. And in that moment, I understood grace as clearly as I ever have. God loves us. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. We can't even send it away. Not really. Because God holds on. And that's God's choice. From that moment on, my life has been about trying to help others understand that God loves them. Trying to be the kind of person who, in my actions and my words, preaches an acceptance that goes beyond right behavior or right thought or right practice, but is humble enough to understand that I'm a sinner who has been saved by grace. Grace offered to adulterers, grace offered to drug users, grace offered to people who are afraid and confused and alone, grace even offered to me. In all of my unknowing and my faults and my frustrations and my fears. Why do people need Jesus? Because Jesus alone can take the darkness out of our lives and place us into a space of light and hope and joy. But if we don't have the passion of knowing why we need Jesus, it will be hard to share that good news to others. For Augustine, it was realizing the hole in his soul. For Wesley, it was the ecstasy of the recognition that God had died for him. For me, it was warmth and light and a sure and certain acceptance that can only be a work of grace in our lives. Paul wrote to the Colossians that when we know Jesus, when the gospel becomes real to us, then our lives open up and change. We bear fruit for the kingdom. We have the strength and endurance to live life joyfully over the long haul. And we are sure of our place as children of God, who will inherit with all the saints the kingdom, which, as we have been studying in Revelation, will come to earth as it is in heaven. Why do people need Jesus? This is what Paul says. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Oh, friends, if we could be clear about this one thing, and if that clarity could light the fire of passion about Jesus in our souls, there would be nothing that we could not accomplish for the sake of the kingdom of light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Affirmation from 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 6 and Colossians 1 verses 15 through 20. This is the good news in which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the woman, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the spirits. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of all cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
I raise the hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise the hallelujah louder than the unbelief, and I raise the hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise the hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me, and I'm gonna sing. Hold on me. on, sing a little louder.
Friends, I pray that this worship service has blessed you, that your life has been enriched and your faith has been strengthened, and your love for Christ and all those whom Christ loves has been deepened through our time together. It has been a joy. I remind you that in just a few minutes, you can check back into Facebook Live, where Brother Nick will be leading us today in a study of Obadiah. Oh, you haven't read Obadiah? Well, not very many people have, but you'll be able to study the whole book in the time with Brother Nick. So I hope you'll be back for that. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, if you are a visitor or guest with us, please do sign in your attendance and let us know how we can pray for you. Now hear this benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, so that there is not a moment when the fire of the love of God is not burning in your heart and sending you out to show that love to others. Friends, peace of Christ be with you. Amen.
Sing a